Blog Talk Radio.
January 27th, 2015, and this is Foxology Today. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host, wishing you a great Monday evening, and thank you for taking the time to listen in, whether it's today or you download it, whenever it is. I appreciate you so much. You know, January has rolled on in here, and goodness gracious, it's rolling right on out, too. But you know, I'm so excited about this year, and I bet you are, too. I'm always so excited just to take the opportunity like we do at the end of the year to evaluate things and look at the year and or forget about it, whatever works best for you. And then, you know, just to look with new hope and anticipation toward the months ahead, you know, with great goals, hopefully. And I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more important it becomes to me to, you know, make sure that those goals are met, that I'm fastening some things in place, and particularly at the top of my list is taking great care of myself in every area of my life. I want to age gracefully and continue to accomplish as much as I possibly can this year and in all the years to come. I'm sure that sounds like that might be your plan, too. Well, you know, the good news is that we are aging better. And you know why? It's because we are aging smarter. You know, we're learning so many important things about life, living, our health, and our well-being than ever before. And consequently, you know, many people are, you know, we're reaching the latter years looking and feeling greater than ever, too. It's pretty awesome. You know, but I do know that that's not always the case. Certainly it isn't. There are concerns that do come with growing older and things that challenge us as well. And that's what we're talking about today, the beauty and battles of aging, growing older, growing better, and the growing concerns that we have. My special guest is, I just know that if you don't know her, by the time you listen to her, you're going to know she is truly a genius. She's a marketing genius and a public relations strategist, and she's Pam Perry, and she's also Communications Director for the Detroit Area Agency on Aging, and she's going to share some of her knowledge and expertise with us in that area today. But before I get her on, I want to tell you a few more things about her. Pam Perry is a message strategist and PR coach working with nonprofits, ministry leaders, authors, speakers, and entrepreneurs. Her focus includes online branding and social media marketing. As the communications director for the Detroit Area Agency on Aging, she works her magic to position and promote the DAAA's services, events, and subject matter experts out of the Detroit community, local media, and online. She has the unique ability to reinvent and rebrand, which has gotten her featured in Gospel Today magazine, Crane's Detroit Free Press, The Word Network, and on many blogs, including Madam Noir, and on the cover of many online magazines. Perry is a graduate of Wayne State University with a BA in journalism. She's an Emmy Award-winning TV producer and a columnist for Hope for Women magazine and Examiner.com. In addition, she is the host of two popular podcasts, Chocolate Pages and Synergy Energy Show on iTunes. She speaks at conferences across the country and coaches on marketing, branding, and public relations in the age of Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. The Detroit Free Press called her a marketing whiz on an almost immortal mission. Publishers Weekly called her a PR guru. I certainly agree with that. Seeing the power of Web 2.0 technology early on, she has a personal network of tens and thousands of followers on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Google+, LinkedIn, and YouTube. And she is my special guest today. How cool is that? Hi, Pam.
Hi, Silver Ray. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That was a mouthful. Oh, my goodness. You just get an applause for reading all of that. Thank you so much for that introduction.
When you got it like that, you got to tell somebody. That's what I think.
Well, that is one of the things of PR that is for sure. So thank you so much. But reinventing
you're an amazing
and rebranding.
Lady. You're an amazing person, and I truly am glad to have you. I know I always say this, but these busy people, when they take time to be on my show, I am so honored and so blessed. So thank you so much. But I want to move on into this topic. You're welcome. I want to move on into this topic because it's a great one for us to be talking about. I think it's always very timely. It's popular for sure. But I want to just come on out of the gates and allow you to tell us some of the more relevant things that are going on or that come to mind or that you really feel we need to be informed about when it comes to the state of aging. I know things are different in a lot of ways, but in many ways they're not. So why don't you just get us in the loop or, you know, up to speed with some of the more relevant things that come to your mind, Pam?
Yeah. Well, this just happened before we got on this the show. My mother called. And my mother will be 78 this year. So a lot of aging issues really, it could start at the age 55, 60, 70, but really 70 plus, you find that a lot of baby boomers, those born between 1946 and 1965, are baby boomers, and they are taking care of their parents. If they're blessed to have their parents, and their parents obviously will be in their 70s. So say right now a baby boomer, the oldest baby boomer may be about 66, 67 years old. And so if you add 20 years onto that, I just lost an aunt the other day and she was 90. So what does that mean? So we are at this stage where we're planning for retirement. Maybe we have kids in college or, you know, maybe if we're a younger baby boomer, maybe we still have young children. And then we're also caring for parents. So my mother just called me and one of the things that we want to make sure that we're doing for our aging parents and then even for us as we get older is to look at a geriatric doctor, someone who specializes in gerontology, which means, you know, those that are older, they have special needs. And not only do they have special needs, but also the doctors have a better, what they call, bedside manner with elders, seniors, elderly, whatever term, you know, you want to use. And so with my mother, she's looking at a different geriatric doctor and someone that we read about, and she called a couple of times. Now, when you think about it, we're very used to podcasting, Facebook and Twitter. I'm the social media queen. You know, I love all of the new technology. I'm a gadget girl. But think about seniors. They don't have that. I mean, my mother doesn't even have a computer. They don't have access to the internet. They don't do that. So they have to rely on really us as baby boomers to interpret information for them. And she called me just a few minutes ago and she says, well, Pam, you've got to come by here. The lady called back to set an appointment. I really didn't even understand what she was talking about. Now, that is a real reality. Now, we're not talking about someone who has Alzheimer's. I think my mother may have a little bit of dementia symptoms, but I'm not really claiming that for her. But just generally, she said, I didn't really understand what they were talking about. You know, as we get older, we listen slower, and so we don't really hear as much as we would like them to hear, or they don't even understand. So one of the main things is with your parents, you have to make sure that you take care of them and you see their doctor. If they are someone who is a senior, make sure maybe they have the right doctor. Maybe they need to change doctors. This is like the going on now, the third change of the doctor for my mother. But maybe if one of these, some pieces of paperwork that I'm actually going to take to her as well. So you just can't say, oh, I'm her daughter and I can be, you know, tell me all the things that's going on with her. You want to have some paperwork so that you can actually talk to the doctor and have an authority of that. One of it is like a HIPAA release so that you can actually have authority to see their records. A HIPAA provides privacy, but if you want to have a HIPAA release, that means that your parents are saying, or your mother or your father are saying, okay, it's okay for you to do that. Or the other thing is to have a durable power of an attorney, and that would mm-hmm. be so that you can actually, if they even come to the point where they are, you know, in a state of mind where they can't really make decisions for themselves, you then have the power of attorney to make the decisions for them. You could do it financially, you could do it medically, or you could just have a general one, you know, depending on that. And that's really mm-hmm. thing. I don't want to talk about, like, you know, if they die and that sort of thing. That's a whole nother conversation. But caring for your aging parents is a really stressful thing because it's like, okay, they want to stay in the home. So this is the situation with my mother, my father. My father is 84. My mother will be 78. So they don't want to go into what a quote-unquote a nursing home. To them, you think about it, they see that as death. When they see nursing home, they see that as death. They see that as hospice. I mean, so they want to age what we call age in place. They want to age in their home. They want to age in place. They want to make sure that they stay there. So what does that mean? So for an adult child like myself, that means that maybe there's certain things around the house, certain chores they can't do, or maybe there's certain things in their house that need it. Say if your parents can't go up and down steps, maybe that means that you have to do some modifications to certain things or move certain bedrooms that were upstairs, move them downstairs. I mean, there's certain modifications that you're going to have to say if they want to age in place. 84, 85, mm-hmm. 86 years old is different from if they've been in that same house for 50 years, it's different. So you've got to mm-hmm. do that. But yes, I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
I want to ask a question. I want to back up a few years on what you've just described, because all aging parents are not even necessarily in their 70s and 80s yet. You know, we're talking about aging a certain type of way, but for some people, you know, what you're talking about, what you just described, is happening for some people in their 50s and 60s already, and they've got people that they're having to look out for and you know, think about all the things that you have just talked about, which makes me want to ask this question. When you talk about geriatric care in the bigger picture, I know you talked about some types of statistics, but who is geriatric care? Who are the candidates for that when you say, okay, now I'm not going to my regular doctor now, I'm getting ready to look at geriatric care? Where are we in our thinking, Pam, or where are we in our stage of life when we make this kind of decision? Are we in 50s and 60s, or do we need to wait until we are experiencing what we understand is a more elderly aging process? Can you clarify that?
Yeah, it's more or less like, I guess you'd say geriatrics is it's a big field. So you could say that maybe once you retire, but basically it's those type of physicians that maybe deal with a lot of chronic conditions, maybe arthritis, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. Alzheimer's. So there's certain types of things that really affect, I guess you would say, the senior population more so than the regular. So if you're going to the regular doctor, maybe they're not as familiar with any sort of dementia, or maybe they're not really, what do you do with rheumatoid, you know, arthritis and that sort of thing. So it's an advancing field. It's one of those things where the aging process, where they just study it backwards and forwards. So
mm-hmm.
maybe once you retire, you know, that could be, say, 60, 65, you know, you may want to look at some of the geriatric centers, because those are the ones that really have, like, the cutting edge on aging. And so
mm-hmm.
those are the ones that, you know, it's just a big field. It's just like if you have cancer, you could see oncologists. If you're a certain age,
mm-hmm.
you're going to see a geriatric type of doctor.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to know your thoughts when we're looking at the big picture of this. Of course, all of the things you mentioned are so critical at some point, and I think probably don't become as important to some people until they start feeling a certain kind of way about their physical well-being and health. What about aging healthier? I really want to, you know, spend a couple of minutes talking about that, because I'm sure in all of what you do, there must be programs in place that talk about that. And also, even if a person is at a certain age and stage, sometimes the quality of life, you can flip the script on that, because people think differently now about being 60 and 70 and even 80.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. I just had a friend that said that turned 70, and she looked wonderful. She beat breast cancer, and she sensational at 70. And she had a little glass, and she was like, "Hey, you know, turn up," type of thing. So, I mean, it is it is one of the things that, you know, as we age, there's I'll give you 10 tips of just some of the things of healthy aging and what that really means, because a lot of it is, especially for urban Americas. Urban Americans, when I say urban Americas, I work for the Detroit Area Agency on Aging, and quote unquote, the population of urban seniors are dying before their time, meaning that in terms of the state, they are outpacing other nationalities in terms of dying. And a lot of it has to do with
mm-hmm.
the chronic diseases that have to do with diabetes or heart attack, stroke, hypertension, a lot of things that have to do with the lifestyle and the food. So one of the main things that to do in order to really go against the statistics for urban seniors is to have an active lifestyle. Walking is really, really key. You know, getting those steps in and regular exercise. It doesn't have to be, you know, oh, I'm going to just, you know, jog and I want to be like this Black Girls Run type of thing. But, you know, you want to make sure that you are getting regular exercise all the time. It's not only physically, but it's also good for mental. There's some studies that people that exercise regularly, they also, you know, would deter any signs of dementia. And matter of fact, most people are more afraid of getting dementia than they are of getting Alzheimer's, than they are of getting cancer. Because it's like they see people that have Alzheimer's, and they fear that more so than cancer. And it's like you're
mm-hmm.
there, but then your mind isn't there. With cancer, you're there and you are present with people, and you're going through certain things. But that's the whole thing. But so regular exercise will help prevent some of that, relieve some of the chronic conditions like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease. You know, and that's just one thing. So you have to stay active. The other thing, it'll help with balance, too, because a lot of seniors fall. So if you exercise regularly, it will help strengthen your muscles and, you know, help you with balance, because one of the main things that seniors do is, like, you know, they fall. So eating healthy, this is one of the main things. If you find that a lot of your relatives have, you know, diabetes or any of those type of things, kidney disease, it's all kind of like related to food, you know, just hypertension, any kind of cardiovascular disease. You know, sometimes we eat too much packaged food. Sometimes we eat too much high sodium. We're not eating enough of the right foods. And when the right foods, you know, this whole thing about clean eating, you know, just fruits, vegetables, you know, avoiding a lot of sweet, a lot of salts, avoiding high processed foods. It's common sense, but it's okay once in a while. Sometimes you can't, you know, avoid, you know, eating clean all the time. But for the most part, if you want the end of your life to really have better health, start now by eating healthy foods. It will maintain. And I tell this to people, too. I said, think about your children. Don't you want your children to really towards the end of your life to really enjoy you instead of taking care of you because you didn't take care of yourself earlier. And it's just real, or your grandchildren, they're taking care of you because you abused your body. You didn't exercise and you just ate like a glutton and you just, you know, didn't take care of yourself. You know, it's a given, obviously, that we don't smoke. You know, obviously, that's like the worst thing you could do. And then also
right.
drink. If you drink too much, that's obviously, you know, it's really hard on the liver and that sort of thing. So, you know, smoking and drinking, if you could get that right out the way, that's going to, you know, cut years, you know, that, you know, it would add years to your life. And then also
mm-hmm.
to just maintain your brain. You know, one in eight older adults, age 65 in the U.S., has Alzheimer's disease. One in eight. So basically, you know, sometimes, you know, your memory, you know, people say, oh, I got a senior moment. You know, sometimes it does. That's a normal part of aging. But when we're talking about Alzheimer's, where it's like when you don't know at all what is going on. So one of the things that maintain your brain is, you know, learning something new. Breaking out of a comfort zone, play an instrument, read a book, learn, take dance lessons, anything. Never stop learning and challenging your brain. Routine, boredom can kill you. Being in a routine, in a rut can kill you. It can really destroy your brain. And it's just really, really important to, I mean, it can be something as simple as like force yourself to go to a different grocery store. Just so that you have to really, it stimulates your brain to find different things in a different place. And that's really, really important
mm-hmm.
to stimulate,
you know,
the brain.
I totally agree. And I want to ask this, Pam, because I watch, the older that I get now, I, of course, watch and make every single effort and endeavor to maintain you know, sort of a diet and exercise and attitude. And I want to talk about the attitude part while we still have a couple of minutes to do that. And I want to have your reflection on that for this reason. I talk to women, men too, my age, sometimes even younger, who already think they are really old.
That's true.
I chuckle about it because I just wonder within my own self, because I don't really count the numbers, because I think they really can do a number on you. And so I recognize how I feel and what I want to do and, you know, what I want to engage in, who I want to be with and fun I want to have. I don't really focus on the fact, like a lot of, oh, I'm this age now, I'm 65,
mm-hmm.
I'm 57, I'm so
mm-hmm.
old. And I say, are you really? Well, I guess you are if you think you are. But
mm-hmm.
what do you feel as far as mastering how you think over some of the idea of aging? Because I've actually seen people when they get to a certain point, they want to walk slower, they want to bend over. And, I mean, just things that I know are so psychological that I think we just ought to, you know, look at ourselves and say, you know, don't do that. Walk taller. Okay, you got a little ache and pain. Well, stretch yourself out a little bit and keep on going. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think we have to have a certain kind of attitude and not agree with the process itself, because we see too many people nowadays who are really overcoming what we have known as a typical type of aging.
Well, sometimes people, if they're not aging well, meaning like they're not really doing the things, the exercise or eating right or getting enough sleep. So say, for instance, they were continuing to do the same habits that they did in their 30s and the 40s and 50s in terms of like, okay, well, I can survive off of 5 hours of sleep, or I can eat this, or I can, you know, do whatever. And it's like, okay, but as you age, you know that maybe you need more sleep. Maybe you do need to, you know, eat certain things, or as a woman, maybe take certain vitamins and calcium and that sort of, because as your body is going to change and it's going to require more sleep and different types of food. And sometimes as we get older, people tend to withdraw from life. So it's really harder. It's when we're younger, we met new people all the time. You know, we are always meeting new people. As we get older, we very rarely like to go out and cultivate relationships and meet new people, which leads to more isolation, you know, and basically you don't have, you know, even if you just force yourself to say we're going to regularly meet for coffee or just go weekly, do something that you meet new people. And that is, when you meet new people, you will then have a different attitude, like you were saying, you know, Silver Ray, where you just have like, oh, okay, I have a different attitude. Well, if you keep doing the same old thing, you can get the same old result. So if you're stuck in a rut. So you want to make sure that you're doing that. And reducing stress is really, really important. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times seniors,
sure.
People who are like 50, 55, 60, they put undue stress on themselves, or long-term stress has been on them for a long period of time. So you'll find a lot of people who are older, they've just always been in like a lot of stress, whether it's stress from their job or whatever it is, and then it leads to depression, which probably is why they probably pull away from people. So a lot of all this just has to do with the attitude of just engaging in life, you know, really understanding your limits, and then also know that, you know, okay, so I can't maybe do a marathon, but I can still walk. And then
right.
You can do that. Don't say, okay, well, I can't do that. Well, what can you do? So that's really like the main thing. It's all about attitude. I mean, I'm not asking people to do anything crazy, but to keep up and challenge yourself and you know, mind, body, and spirit, you know, so that you can definitely challenge your brain, you know, have relationships, you know, do certain things different, you know, spiritually, you know, keep that fed as well. As we get older, you know, we really do understand that the mortality of life, because a lot of people maybe have people that have passed, you know, whether it's your parents or grandparents or friends. So, you know, having a sense of purpose and knowing your spiritual life is really, really important the older you get. And then your body. I mean, lifting weights, you know, just small weights are really, really good things to do. But the main thing when you're and if you are a caregiver, you have to take care of yourself. That's really, really important to take care of yourself first. That way you don't have resentment toward who you're taking care of.
You know, Pam, this was absolutely, I think, the fastest conversation I've had in that time. I can't believe we have like 2 minutes left. But you've shared an abundance of information that I know is really helpful, and I hope that has opened the eyes of many people, you know, about the beauty and the battles, as I said, of aging, because it, you know, it can come for some people with some challenges. But I think you've shared some information that definitely pinpoints things that people should really be paying attention to and decisions that should be made at this point. Before I let you go, I want to thank you, and I want you to let people know, too, that you are, as I said, a genius in marketing and PR and where they can get hold of you, because you do other things that help people launch their businesses and brands.
Well, you sure. They can go to PamPerryPR.com. That's my branding site. I help people brand better. So if they go to PamPerryPR.com, they can find information there and blogs and that sort of thing there, and they can fill out a form, or if they would like additional assistance in terms of, and I always say that every entrepreneur, every executive should have their own personal brand. Take control of your brand. If you don't, someone else will. So I always help people do that online.
Okay, great. Well, again, I want to thank you. It's been exciting talking to you, and I just love it when there's so much great information that can be shared in such a short time. Thank you so much. I'm going to look forward to checking back in again with you sometime later this year and seeing what's going on. With you, I know it's something always exciting, so thank you, Pam Perry.
Thank you so much, Silver Ray. God bless.
Thank you. And I want to thank all of you, too. I know that information had to be especially enlightening. We are definitely getting to those golden years, a lot of us, at least I know from the age range for my listeners, we are. And this was just great information, just to know that we can live well, we can live wonderfully. Pam says to really work on that stress, and we should just strive to be happier and live happier at this point in life. We owe it to ourselves. So I'm going to say that to you and grab hold of your sense of purpose. Get out and meet new people. Look for senior stuff online that will keep you engaged and going forward. Until next time. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening, and I'll look forward to the next time we chat. Good night.